Before I get into the lesson, I want to talk about the service switch that's coming up. And the switch in the timing and everything. And just so that we have a clear understanding of how Sunday mornings are going to be, starting on June 6th. There's information about this. It's in the bulletin, but I thought it made more sense to for me to kind of lay it out for you guys in terms of how it affects us, because really kind of the big question with it is what happens to us? Because if the temple's running at 9:30, which is, you know, right now, they're not, but they will be on June 6th, and then the bridge is going to start 10:45. Ed's going to speak in both services live. All right, that's the reason for it. And because the main thing on Sunday is the main thing, which is the service, and we need to make it the most conducive for visitors and people to come in and, you know, hear the message. So what happens at senior high? Because, you know, we meet first hour, and some of you, I'm sure, have parents that go to the temple, right? Whose parents go to the temple? Okay, who's go to the bridge? Yeah, okay, so we're kind of split, which is kind of the reason for the switch. So here's kind of what's going to happen down here with Sundays and Wednesdays. Sundays and Wednesdays are going to kind of switch up a little bit, and here's what I mean. One thing that we haven't really been good at down here, and this is not you when I say we, I'm just talking like the stuff that we provide for you guys. One thing we haven't done very well is from the discipleship standpoint. The one-on-one discipleship kind of stuff, to actually sit down with you guys, answer your questions, take you through, you know, some of the foundational truths of the Bible and stuff like that. And part of the reason we haven't is because there hasn't really been a good time to do it. You know, that's like a designated time that we can sit down with you guys and all that. So here's kind of what's going to happen. Sunday mornings, starting June 6th, they're going to look like this. Okay? Connect and the hub here and there is going to be open from 9 a.m. to 10:30. We're calling that first hour. All right? The way that, and the whole church, you know, we're calling that first hour. There's no more Sunday school hour than main service. It's first hour, second hour. That's how it's going to be. So we're going to be open from 9 to 10:30. And what I want you guys to do with that time is I want you guys to take some initiative during that time. And the first hour on Sundays is going to be about discipleship and service. So if you're not serving in a children's ministry or you're not helping somewhere, I want to encourage you guys to do that, to be a part of that. Or the other thing is we're going to have these books right here. This is an 8-week thing called Refresh and Connect. And it's got 8 weeks of, it's like an 8-week thing. And I'll sit down with some of you guys and go through it. And here's kind of what I want that first hour to look like. I want you guys to be able to take the initiative to grow in your relationship with Christ, right? We can't just become sit and soak kind of people. You know, if all you're doing is you're just coming in here on Sundays and Wednesdays and you're just sitting and listening to it, and that's it, and you don't do anything during the week, you know, you have to actually put some effort into it. So this is going to be a way to help you put some effort into it. All of us as leaders, we're going to be here to go through this with you guys. I want you guys to be able to go through this and then maybe to be able to sit down with another friend, another student that maybe comes in here in the next few weeks, and then to be able to take them through it. This has 8 great foundational truths of, you know, the first week is, will the real gospel please stand up? Week 2 is about eternal security. You know, once saved, always saved, that kind of thing. I hear that question all the time, you know, why do we believe that? The Trinity, the Bible, you know, stuff about the Bible, what's it all about? The key to growth, true spirituality, prayer, the phone link to God, fellowship, the network of believers. You know, why do we get together and hang out and do stuff? Like, believe it or not, there's a biblical reason that we went to laser tag, as dumb as that might sound to you. Evangelism, outreach to unbelievers. So that's, I mean, that's the 8 weeks of it. But Sunday mornings, I want it to be available for you guys to come in at whatever time between there. It probably takes 20, maybe 20 minutes to go through one of those, you know, and then go play ping pong or play Wii or something like that until the bridge starts. And then go to the bridge, okay? Go to a service. Another thing that you're going to hear Pastor Ed talk about is worship one, serve one. Okay, so since we've got 2 hours, we have worship 1 hour, serve 1 hour. Choose one of those, okay? Senior high will not be open during second hour, just so you know. It's going to be in the bridge, because I feel like the bridge is your service. You know what I mean? That's more conducive to you guys. And that's the service that I think really speaks to your generation is the bridge. So Sunday in the bridge is where you're going to get your praise and worship, which is sweet and awesome. You know, it's where you're going to get, you know, Pastor Ed's messages are going to be geared more toward the bridge crowd, which is going to be the younger crowd. So it's going to be that. That's kind of how Sundays are going to look starting June 6th. Does that make sense? Okay. I don't really have time to answer questions this morning so that we can get to our lesson and everything, but so when and if you do have questions, because I know you will, you'll be like, what about this? What about that? Believe me, I've done my best to think through all of it, but I may not have, okay? So what is Wednesdays? You know, what's going to happen with Wednesdays? Wednesdays are going to become our main night. That's youth night, okay? That's our big night anyway. That's our big day. That's when we have the most people here. We're running about 70 on Wednesday nights. All right, we're going to go an extra half hour, 6:30 to 8:30 is how Wednesdays are going to roll. We're going to do praise and worship on Wednesday nights. That's when you're going to get my lesson series is going to be on Wednesday nights. We are still going to do gladiator games. Fear not. That will stay twice a year, spring and in the fall. And Wednesday night is going to become the main night. All right, so I wanted you guys to hear it from me. So that you know exactly what all's going on. I'm going to have a letter for you guys to take home to your parents here probably in the next couple of weeks, maybe next week, I don't know, that really kind of fleshes it out and fully explains it. If you have questions about it and about what's going on, please come up and talk to me and ask me, or if you've got some sort of problem with the scheduling and all that kind of stuff, let me know. We're hoping that we've thought through all this, but this is going to be a big change, and I feel that this change for student ministries is going to be most effective for you guys. That's the main reason I want to change it like this, is because I feel like this schedule, it best suits you and where you guys are, you know? Who is tired right now? Bingo. Okay? That's why Wednesday night is our main night, if you ask me. Okay? That's one big thing for me, because I feel like we need to, you know, if we're going to help reach you guys and help you guys to grow in your walk, we got to meet you where you're at. And if you're staying up till 2 in the morning on Saturday night, I can't sit up here and browbeat you for that. You know what I mean? Like, you're in high school. Duh. Of course you're going to stay up late on Saturday night. Duh. And Friday night. Right. Or all night Friday playing laser tag like I did. I'm tired too. You know what I mean? So that's that. All right, and like I said, any questions about any of the service changes and schedules and all that good stuff, I will have a letter for you guys. I'm going to have all this information on the website. I'll put it on our Facebook. I'll put it everywhere so that you guys know. If anybody wants one of these books, these are going to be available to everybody. I've got a few of them for you guys to maybe take, but really June 6th is going to be that day. June 6th is promotion as well. Really, that day is when the service switch is going to happen and all that good stuff. And then that Wednesday will kind of be our first big Wednesday blowout. That'll be like when everything really hits. That'll be the 9th, I think. So, did I do that right? Okay. I wasn't sure. Nice. So that's that. Let's get into part 3 of our series we've been talking about on technology. The first week, we talked about our relationship with technology and, you know, how into it we are or aren't. You know, how much are you putting it in the proper perspective in your mind and in your life? And then last week we talked about our profile. You know, talked a lot about Facebook and MySpace and that kind of thing, and how with technology we can use that to, you know, be PR agents for ourselves, if you will, to kind of project the profile that we want, and sometimes it's fake and sometimes it's not. And technology isn't wrong, but how we use it and our relationship with it is really what matters. That's when it can become wrong. Any tool can be wrong, and you can do a lot with it for good also. And it's very powerful. Technology gives us a lot of power. It gives us a lot of power, probably more than you realize. The way that you can, for crying out loud, you know, I have a cousin that lives in Hawaii, and I could send her a text message right now, and she would get it in about 4 seconds. You know what I mean? That's power. But let's talk about really where the power can come in terms of like manipulating people, things that you maybe say through your text messages, on your profile, on your status on Facebook, on or whatever. You know, the power that that technology might have over you in terms of, I got to get home because I got to play Xbox and I got to get Xbox Live and I got to be online, you know, and it can just control your mind. It's very powerful. And it's also convenient. It's changed our world. It's changed the way the world works. Our world has become much smaller because of technology, because of communication. There is no place on the planet that is off limits because of technology, right? Google, like Google Earth, have you guys ever looked at that, like messed around with that? You can look at like anywhere through satellite images. That doesn't freak you out, you know what I mean? Like if they're making that available to us on the web, like for free, what do you think the government has? You know what I mean? They're probably like zooming in and, you know, I mean, who knows what all they can see. From what I've heard, they have satellites that can read your license plate while you're driving down the highway. You know what I mean? Who knows? You guys watch 24? It's a real show. It's real life. I'm kidding. Yeah, it's a documentary. We love Jack Bauer. Let's be honest. We need to pray for him because this is the last season of 24. Kidding. We can do more now than we ever thought possible. Definitely we can do more than we ever thought possible. Who would have thought even 10 years ago some of the things that we can do now? And I'm not trying to sound like an old fuddy-duddy or whatever, but like it really is kind of crazy. If you look at computers, even just in the year 2000, as of what they can do, that computer right back there that we're running the whole service through, right, it's 4 months old, it's already outdated, something like that. It was the newest, best iMac when we bought it, top of the line. It's already outdated. They've already put out one that's faster and has more storage and has a bigger screen and the whole nine. It's already outdated. A lot of potential for good as we use it here. You know, I think we use our technology for good down here. There's also a lot of potential for negative. And I'm going to kind of show you that, believe it or not, in the Old Testament. We're going to be in 1 Kings. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. And again, there's no computers and stuff like that in the Bible, but there are some aspects of technology and of communication that were around back then. 1 Kings and 2 Kings was believed to be combined with 1 and 2 Samuel, actually, into one big, huge book. And these are historical documents that have to do with the history of Israel, and they're important in following, you know, where God has taken them through history. And in 1 Kings, Israel kind of becomes divided into like a northern and a southern, I guess, countries or kingdoms, really. And there was a lot of different kings at that time. And today we're going to look at one of the worst kings ever. His name was Ahab. Actually, in chapter 16, verse 33, you don't have to flip there. I'm going to flip there real quick and read it to you. But in verse 16:33, it says that, it says, he did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings of Israel before him. So he was not a good dude. He did more to tick off God than anybody else, and he seemed to enjoy it. In verse 2 here in chapter 21 is where we're going to start. And it talks about a guy named, it's either Naboth or, I'm going to go with Naboth because I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. So, verse 2 here. It says, one day Ahab said to Naboth, since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it to use as a vegetable garden. I'll give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I will pay you for it. Okay, so he was nice. And, you know, again, Ahab's kind of a jerk, and we're going to find this out. He's a crazy guy. But right here, he's talking to this dude, and he's like, yo, I like your vineyard, and I want to buy it if that's cool. You know, he's actually kind of nice about it. Well, turns out Naboth tells him in the next couple of verses, sorry, it's not for sale. This vineyard's been passed down through, you know, from God, through my family. God said not to sell it. It's not for sale. Sorry. Well, Ahab pouts. basically turns into a big baby, and he's crying and moaning all over a stupid garden. If you ask me, I'm like, really? Okay. But growing fruits and vegetables was a big deal back then. So he gets all ticked off, enter in the deceiving and conniving woman, all right, named Jezebel. I'm sure have you ever heard like a girl called a Jezebel or whatever? Okay, this is where that comes from. No joke. Okay? Because she comes in and just becomes a very manipulative and well, as you'll see here, just sort of takes over and plays off of Ahab's pouting to do something terrible. So verse 7 here, skip down a little bit. She says to him, "Are you king of Israel or not? Get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, sent them to the elders and other leaders of the town where Naboth lived. In her letters, she commanded, "Call the citizens together for fasting and prayer. Give Naboth a place of honor. And then seat two scoundrels across from him who will accuse him of cursing God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." And I'm like, good grief. All over a vineyard, right? This guy's on such a power trip. And this girl, this Jezebel, is wanting to do whatever she can to please this guy. So she writes letters in his name, seals them with his seal, right? The technology of the time on how to communicate. Verse 15 and 16, Naboth actually does get stoned to death. Her plan actually does come to fruition, that it goes out, gets carried out exactly how she says it's going to. Dude gets stoned to death over some peppers and onions. All right. Verse 15, vineyard also grows grapes. When Jezebel heard the news, she said to Ahab, "You know the vineyard Naboth wouldn't sell you? Well, you can have it now. He's dead." So Ahab immediately went down to the vineyard of Naboth to claim it. He's like, oh, okay, sweet, he's dead, mine. He has no problem with this, right? Now, the seal was a stamp of approval from the king. She writes these letters in his name, and this whole thing unfolds. Now, we don't use seals or letters really anymore because we have other tools, all right? And we have the control and the ability to accomplish almost anything for good or for bad using our technology. We can do just about anything we want with communication. And there's ways that I'm sure you've seen people that can manipulate stuff, all right? I know for a fact there's an app on a BlackBerry, and I don't remember exactly what it's called or how to do it, but my brother-in-law, Dustin, called me one time using this app, and he calls me from his phone, and on my phone, it says, "Call from Pastor Ed Holland," and I'm like, the heck, and I answer it, and it's Dustin, and he's like, because like if Ed calls, I answer the phone, you know what I mean? He's my boss. But, I mean, now there's a perfect example of exactly what this is talking about. Now, Dust wasn't using that to destroy or whatever. He was just being funny. But let me tell you a story about somebody that did. Okay, there was, and this is a true story. There was a girl named Megan who was on MySpace. And she gets friended by this guy. And they start talking, you know, back and forth and stuff like that. They were friends at first, making nice. After about a month, something happened in the relationship, and I don't know what it was. They'd never really met face-to-face. But the boy on the thing starts making comments about her. Starts just trashing her, throwing her under the bus, calling her everything, this, that, and the other. Really just, like, dragging her name through the mud. This girl's self-esteem takes a dump, and the thing is, the last thing that she said to her on the MySpace thing, she said, "The world's better off without you." That was the last thing that the boy said to her on her MySpace page. Day later, girl was found hanging from a noose. She killed herself over what somebody said on MySpace. Now, here's the crazy part about it. This actually wasn't a boy that did this. It was a mom that lived like two streets down that made a fake MySpace profile and was on there just fooling around, just being mean. You never know the power that you have. You never know the power that you have. That's a true story. Just over something on MySpace. Just over some comments that were made. The power that we have with technology, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. It's actually going to increase, and it's going to get better. Technology duplicates, I think, every about 4 to 6 months, something like that. And the more it does, the more careful we have to be with the technology that we do have, because power that's mishandled, as we've seen, can have serious consequences. With great power comes great responsibility, right? It's not just Spider-Man. It's real life, all right? It's the truth. There is more at risk now than ever before because of the speed in which you can talk to somebody. In a matter of minutes, somebody's reputation can be destroyed through these social networking sites and through text messages and stuff like that. Babel had bricks, right? And that took months to make and years to make that tower with those bricks. Jezebel had letters and the seal, and that took probably a week or two to unfold that entire scheme because of how long it took the letter to get there. Man, nowadays, we can send messages instantly. We can rip somebody apart instantly. It takes only seconds to make a nasty comment or send an email that you're going to regret to somebody about something. Sexting has become something that seems to be popular for what reason or another, but you can totally ruin somebody's reputation with that in a matter of minutes. How quick could something like that just spread? We don't always think of the impact or the consequences that can happen through even just a little comment that you make. Somebody's picture is up on Facebook and you can make one little comment on it and you might be completely joking and that person can take it completely the wrong way. And there you go, you're off and running. So how are you using technology in your relationship with other people? You know, are you making the world a better place with it? Are you helping friendships and relationships with it? Or are you tearing them down? Are you harming other people or are you hurting them? And that's really what our connection point is today. It's are you helping or are you hurting? You can't get away from technology. Good or bad, you can't get away from it. It's the world that we live in. But what you can control is how you use it. You know, what kind of stuff are you commenting on? What are your comments actually doing, you know? You can't allow these stories like Babel and the story with Ahab and Jezebel, you can't allow these stories to become your story. Certainly the one with Megan and the MySpace thing. None of us in here want that hanging over our heads. None of us in here want that story, any of these stories, to become a story like ours. So are you helping or are you hurting? You can't let technology have a priority in your life that it was never meant to have.